Isaiah chapter 9, and once again, verse 6 and 7. Isaiah chapter 9. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. 700 years before Jesus was born, the old prophet looked through the centuries and said, he shall be called Wonderful, which takes care of the dullness of life. Counselor, that takes care of the decisions of life. The Mighty God, that takes care of the demands of life. The Everlasting Father, that takes care of the dimensions of life. Now this morning, the Prince of Peace, that takes care of the disturbances of life. Our first understanding of peace came when we were young. Your mother probably said more than once, you kids go to your room so I can have some peace and quiet. Peace meant silence at that time. Red Foley used to sing, peace in the valley. Peace meant heaven. It's a beautiful thought. I'm enough of a student of history, and I have been listening to politicians for a long time promise more than they can deliver. Woodrow Wilson said, we will have peace in our time. Mr. Reagan said, we will have peace through strength. That kind of peace meant simply an absence of hostility, no war at the moment. I lived through the 60s, the decade of peace. There were peace signs and peace nicks and flower children in San Francisco. Cat Stevens singing Peace Train. It's going to take this country and you can ride on the peace train. Some of you remember that. We have heard a lot of talk about peace, and most of it, ladies and gentlemen, is peace on the outside and absence of hostilities. Peace is when all the circumstances are right. If we can get all our ducks in a row, and that sounds nice, but life isn't like that, is it? How much international peace have we had in our lifetime? Well, since the beginning of recorded time, 8% of the time. Peace seems to be that brief moment in human history when everyone stands around reloading. Do I have to remind you that Armageddon is still future? We would like to have peace in our environment. No more E4 tornadoes that tear through the center part of our nation. 9 out of 10 years in the United States, there is either too much or too little rain. We would all love to have peace at home. A marriage that is good. Kids all getting along and helping around the house. Paying their own car insurance and college tuition. But that isn't generally true either. I've heard a couple of times in my life, my wife and I have been married 30 years and there's never been a cross word. I get real uncomfortable around someone like that because that's not where Tina and I are. The fact of the matter is, if you've been together for 30 years and there's never been a cross word, one of you is unnecessary. Tina and I have fussed and fought for almost 50 years, and it's all good. Jesus steps into our world, and he makes this statement. Go with me to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. And look at verse 33. These things I have written unto you, that in me ye might have peace. And then he continues and says, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In this world, you're going to have tribulation. There's not going to be any peace on the outside. So how in the world do we cope? There has to be peace on the inside. If there is no peace on the inside, it messes the outside up. Sin in our lives messes up everything. It shows us what we are really like in our heart. So here's the deal, folks. You will never have peace until you meet the Prince of Peace. The word prince means the one who takes the first part. The Prince of Peace leads in peace. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19, the Bible says, we love him because he first loved us. How can I prove that to you this morning? That he is the Prince of Peace, that he is the leader in peace. I can only take you to the life of Christ and show you that even though there was no peace on the outside, there was peace on the inside. I'm going to touch just a couple of areas where you and I struggle for peace. Go back to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. And we'll begin reading in verse 36. Mark chapter 4, verse 36. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part, that is, Jesus was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, very accusatory, Master, don't you even care that we are going to perish? Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, and he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith. I want you to do something this morning. I want you to equate this storm with any storm that you might have in your life. In the middle of the storm, Jesus was sound asleep and the disciples were terrified. What was the difference? Jesus knew the ship couldn't sink with him in it, so he had peace. When the Prince of Peace is in my life, my boat cannot sink because, ladies and gentlemen, he is on board. What about sickness and death? Real problems with which we wrestle. Mark chapter 5. And let's pick up a story in verse 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, "Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, "Talitha kumi," which is being interpreted, "Damsel, I say unto thee, arise." And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. Jesus stepped into sickness and death, and there was hopelessness and mourning and deep grief and cynical behavior. But Jesus had peace because he is bigger than death. He knew exactly what he would do. He would bring her back. The same Prince of Peace, ladies and gentlemen, lives in my life and gets involved in very real ways. Jesus is the absolute master of death. Whatever he does is right. He knows exactly how to handle every situation. No situation is too big for him. What about economics? Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. And let's begin reading in verse 35. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, "This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." He answered and said unto them, "Give ye them to eat." And they say unto him, "Shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread and give them to eat?" He saith unto them, "How many loaves have ye? Go and see." And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 little fish. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and he blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before them. And the 2 fish divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up the 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. The disciples' economic situation could not handle the need, but Jesus knew what he would do. Some of you are wondering what you are going to do financially. There's honest needs, there's honest debts. Your economic situation is unable to handle those needs. That's what the Prince of Peace is all about. He knows exactly what to do. He doesn't need the bank to make it work. He can take what you have and make it all work out. They were worried, but Jesus had peace. One other thought. What if the trouble is personal? They brought Jesus to trial. They brought in false accusers. They sentenced him to death. They hung him on a cross between 2 thieves. They were reviling. He was forgiving. Again, what's the difference here? You don't have to have an absence of hostilities to have peace. What you have to have is adequate resources. And here is the most adequate resource of all. Jesus Christ lives in me. There is a beautiful word in the Jewish language, shalom, which simply means peace. Shalom has nothing to do with the absence of hostilities. It has everything to do with having adequate resources. It is Jesus in your heart. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And of his peace, there shall be no end. The same peace that Jesus had in his earthly life is available to us today, because here's what he said: my peace give I unto you. And you either believe that or you don't. What you need this morning is a peace conference with the Prince of Peace. Let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you for that deep and abiding peace that we have in our life. And it has nothing to do with the outward circumstances. It has everything to do with the fact that we trust you. We are your child. And you have your hand upon us. And if when we were your enemy, dear Father, your Son died for us, how much more is he going to do for us now that we are his child? Oh, Father, thank you for that peace that passes all understanding. Thank you for that peace that just gets put on us by your hand over and over again. Thank you for the peace that we have in our hearts because we know you and we trust you. And dear Father, help us to obey you in all things. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for your wonderful word. Thank you for the cross where your son loved us and died for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, ladies and gentlemen. Rick's going to lead us in an invitation hymn. If God has spoken to your heart,